Father, we're so thankful for your many blessings this morning. Lord, you know what we need this morning. You know what every person in this room needs to hear this morning. Father, I pray that you would minister in such an intimate, such a personal way to each and every one of us. Father, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that there would be peace, that there would be repentance, that there would be healing. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1, and Luke chapter 1, verse 5, starting off talking about John the Baptist, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. Luke 1, 5, it says, "In the time of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly divisions of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years." You know what this kind of says to me is that you can be upright, you can be upright and blameless, you can be living for God and still not have everything you think you need, right? She's barren, she's well along in years, and we've seen this more than once in the Bible with women longing and desiring to have children and not doing anything wrong. But they're still not blessed with children. Verse 8 says, "Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take a drink of wine or other fermented drinks. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So today what I want to talk to you about is preparing the way. Okay? John the Baptist was born with a purpose. He was born with a task. And he was born with this purpose and task. And what was it to do? He was to be the forerunner. He was to go out before the Lord and prepare the hearts of the people. That was his job. That was his task. Many people today, you're preparing for things in your life. You prepare for school. You prepare for college. That's preparing you for a career. We go grocery shopping and we figure out what we're going to cook that week. So we go grocery shopping and preparing for the meals that we're going to have this week. We give thoughts to about the things in our life of what's coming up and what we're preparing for, and we're, it seems like in my life there's always something that we're getting ready for. There's always something we're preparing for. Yesterday, you know, we had the party for Madeline in her graduation Thursday, and it was wonderful seeing her graduate. It was wonderful having that party. But now that that's over, now we can start getting our mind set on Christmas, right? Because now we got to prepare for Christmas. But then as soon as Christmas is over, what? We're having a Christmas party here at church. So then I got to start preparing for the Christmas party at church and getting my mind right for that. And then finally, after the Christmas party, it's a new year. Oh, but then it's tax season, and it's this, and it's that. And it's like we're always preparing. We're always getting ready for something. Matthew 3:1, we're still talking about John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord, making straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John understood that he was born with a purpose. He understood that he had a job, he had a task to do. You jump down to verse 11 here, and it says, "I baptized you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John understood that he was born from the time he was promised to his father, that he knew he was going to be, the father knew that this was going to be a special child with a task, with a purpose. Y'all, I believe with all my heart that every one of you are just that special also. That God has a purpose, that God has a task for each and every one of us. John understood what his task was, and he understood that he was just the front runner preparing the hearts. And he says, "After me, one is going to come more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not even fit to carry." In John 3:30, he says, "He must increase and I must decrease." He understood the significance of Jesus Christ. He understood that his job was to prepare, but that Jesus was coming and he was not even worthy to tie his shoes. Y'all, with our life, God, I believe, has a specific plan and a special task for each and every one of you, to the point that we have to understand that we must decrease, he must increase. You guys have heard me talk about that verse a lot. I've preached on it. We even had shirts made up on that verse. I love that verse. But understanding that God has a mission, that God has a task for each and every one of us. Do we understand we were born with a purpose? And our purpose might be that you're planting good seed in a miserable person. And you might not, your job might be that coworker that's ornery, that's mean to everybody. And you might be the one person that's the beginning of planting good seed in his life. And you may never see that seed begin to grow. And maybe the next worker coming along that's a Christian might reap the harvest from that. But the reality is that God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we don't understand. And sometimes in our life it seems like, are we even doing anything? But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future." But you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of life, does it ever just seem painful and like you're just not accomplishing anything? like nobody's listening. There's no change. Sometimes in life, you know, for me, I don't know, maybe y'all's life isn't like that, but sometimes in the middle of life, and I'm going, God, am I even doing any good? Is anybody even listening? It just seems like the world's getting darker, the people I work with are getting worse, this is happening, and Lord, am I even doing any good? John the Baptist's parents, when they hadn't had children, that wasn't a pleasant time in their life. You look at Luke 1:25, and his mother says, "The Lord has done this for me." She said, "In these days He has shown His favor in taking away my disgrace among the people." She felt disgrace because she'd never had a child. But y'all, I want you to understand something, that sometimes in the storms of your life, sometimes in the moments where you are right now maybe, and there must be something to this, because this is the third week that I feel like I've had an underlying theme of pain and hurt in life, and there's something going on, okay? There's something going on where we're hurting, where we're miserable, or where we're feeling ineffective. And you think about John the Baptist's mom is saying, "You finally have taken away my shame. You finally have taken away my disgrace." So through this life of pain, maybe she didn't understand. But what? She remained righteous. She remained faithful to the Lord. And wherever you're at today, maybe you're feeling the disgrace or shame, or maybe you're feeling like you're just not accomplishing anything, or maybe you're just going, God, what's even the point? But God has a purpose. God has a plan. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." When he has stood the test, maybe you're going through a trial, maybe you're going through some testing. I read a devotional this week, and it was really good, and I've been debating on whether to read it to y'all or not, but I don't think I'm gonna. I'll just summarize it. But it was a devotional about this man reflecting on his childhood, okay? And he said that he lived up north someplace, I think it was in Indiana. And he said as a kid, he remembered his dad always decorating their house with Christmas lights. And he would make his son help. And he said the snow would be deep, it would be cold, and we'd get bundled up, and we'd go out there and we'd put Christmas lights all over the house. And he said, "I hated it. And I whined and I griped. I had tantrums. He said, "I did all this because it was I guess it was during his 2-week break from school." He goes, "I wanted to be relaxing. I didn't want to be outside in the cold putting on Christmas lights." And he was a good storyteller. That's probably why he's writing devotionals, huh? But he even talked about the icicle lights hanging and dangling. And he said those were the worst because the wind would blow them up on the roof. And then they'd have to get bundled up, get the ladder out, and go fix those. And he just said he complained and he was miserable. And his dad finally had enough. And he said, I can't deal with you and the Christmas lights. And he stopped helping his dad. But he said, the older I got, he said, I realized that all that hard work of putting up Christmas lights made our house very beautiful. And he said, as a child and a young teen, I didn't realize all that hard work, but how beautiful the outcome was after the process had been done. And I think that that's true for many of our lives, that sometimes when we're in the storm, sometimes when we're in the trial, and it doesn't seem like life's all that beautiful, and it doesn't seem like life's all that great, but we never know when God is preparing us for something. When God is preparing to turn us into this beautiful creation of His. See, sometimes the storm, sometimes the trials, sometimes the hard work is when we become the most beautiful. Blessed is a man who perseveres under the trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. I wonder how many of us were missing out on God's blessings. We're missing out on what God is trying to do because we're complaining in the middle of the trial. We're complaining and we're griping and we're moaning and we're groaning and we're not looking for the beauty of what Christ is trying to do in our lives. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is near me," or is on me, "because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Y'all, that's good news. That's good news for me and you today. To preach the good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, for freedom for the captives. If you're bound by something today, God wants to set you free. If you're brokenhearted, God wants to bind up that broken heart. Verse 2 says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And this was a verse that I wanted to read. "And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ash, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." You guys may have heard the Christian song, "Beauty for Ashes." Y'all, sometimes in the ashes, sometimes in the misery, sometimes in the heap of the garbage, that's when God wants to take and make us into something beautiful. That's when God wants to take and transform us into something great and mighty. It says to put on display oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. God wants a crown of beauty instead of ashes for our life. He wants to take and make us into something beautiful. And so today, as we talk about preparing things, John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord Jesus, and he understood that he must decrease, that God must increase. Have you been working hard preparing for Christmas? Christmas shopping, doing all these things, maybe planning your meals, trying to organize if you have multiple Christmas parties to go to like us. We started that 3 or 4 weeks ago. Well, we got to go to so-and-so's house this day and so-and-so's house that day. And well, how are we going to fit everybody in and begin to plan and prepare for Christmas? You know, maybe you've been working hard preparing for retirement. Maybe you've worked hard or you're just beginning to work hard and thinking, I've got to put so much back, and you're making all these preparations for someday when you might retire. But how many of us have been working hard to prepare for God's plan in our life? And you might say, "Work? Well, wait a minute. Not by work so that no man can boast." And you might be going, "What are you talking about, Pete? Work! It's by grace." But when I was reading this to myself after I wrote it, I thought that's what people could be saying. But what does the Bible say? "Let each man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Warn those who are idle." Y'all, the reality is that in Sunday school, I could have really went right into this sermon from Sunday school, and I could have went on more, but Sunday school really lined up with this, and just knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And sometimes it's work, and sometimes it's a storm, and sometimes you can be like Paul and in chains, but you're still realizing that God has a purpose, that God has a plan, that God wants to do something great, that He wants to take those ashes, that mourning, that weeping, and turn it into something beautiful. Hebrews 10:32 says, "Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insults and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prisons and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. I don't know anybody in this room this morning that's gone the persecution that the early Christians had went under. But I can relate to this because I can remember when I was first saved how stuff wouldn't bother me. I felt so empowered and I felt so strong. But it, as life goes on, sometimes things begin to bother you. And sometimes you lose that joy of your salvation. And sometimes you get to the point like I was saying that, am I even doing anything? Is anybody even listening? Verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous ones will live by faith. And if He shrinks back, I will not be pleased with Him. But we are not those who shrink back and are not and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Can I tell you something? That if you've been thinking about shrinking back, if you have shrunk back, now is not the time. For in just a little while, I don't know what come over me this week. But a brother in Christ that I work with, he was just prayed over last week to become a deacon in his church, and he's a young man. He's 27, 28. He's a young black man. I don't think that makes any difference or not, but he's my friend and he's my brother in Christ, and we work together, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person, and he's a man of God. And something come over me this week at work, and I started singing, and I hollered at him, and I said, it won't be too much longer, and we'll be singing this in heaven. And he started shouting and singing with me, and I said, just think, before long, we're going to be in heaven, and you're going to be there with me, and we're going to be singing and praising the Lord. And I just got so excited at work, and that's not me. That's not usually who I am. And just something came over me, seeing my brother in Christ and him just getting prayed over last week and becoming an elder in his church or deacon. I don't remember what his title is, but to think it just in just a little while. So what you're going through today, what you're going through this week, what you're going through in your life, God is shaping and forming you into something beautiful, and He's preparing you. He's preparing you. He's preparing you for a job. He's preparing you for a task. And even though it may not feel like it, and even though it may not seem like it, God is doing something great in your life. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I keep crying this week. And I've been debating on whether to tell you this or not, but there's a song. And it's not a Christian song, but I think his name is Hunter Hayes. He's a country singer. He doesn't have very many hits, but he's got a song called Craig. Maybe listen to it, okay? And I heard this preacher talking, and I'll come back to the song, but this preacher was talking, and he said when he was in college, there was a bricklayer. And he would disciple college students. And he said, this man would have me in his home, and I'd eat dinner with his wife and with his kids. And he said, I saw the way that he loved his wife. And I saw the way that he prayed over his children. I saw how he would read the Bible with his family. And he'd take me to work with him, and he said, And he taught me to work hard laying bricks. And he said, I became so confused. He says, I didn't know if I was going to be a lawyer, if I was going to be a doctor, if I was going to be a preacher. But I did know I wanted to be like him. Because I saw how he loved the Lord Jesus. And I saw how he worked hard and how he made God a priority. It was this man living his life and impacting the world around him. And he says, that man had so much influence on me. Y'all, you don't have to stand up here on Sunday mornings and be the preacher to have an influence on those around you. You don't have to teach Sunday school to have an influence on those around you. That song that I was talking about by Hunter Hayes called Craig, I don't know if Hunter Hayes is a Christian or not, but the song, I think it's a true story of a man discipling him. And when their family, he has 5 kids at the time, I think he has 6, and he just had a 7th that passed away in the last couple months. But they didn't have a vehicle big enough for all of his kids, and a man bought him a van. This song talks about that. I listened to that song this morning because I hadn't heard it in a while, and I just tears began to well up inside of me because I thought, to impact the people around you, not by preaching a sermon, but by living a life. Even when you're going through the storm, are we preparing the way for those co-workers? Are we preparing the way for our children, for our wives, for our families? Are we preparing a way? Are they seeing Jesus in our life? Because that's what John was doing. He was preparing the way. But what was he doing? He was eating locusts and wild honey, and he was weird. But people were drawn to him because he loved the Lord, and he was preaching repentance. I'm going to end with this verse here, Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. A bricklayer did it. Not preaching from the pulpit, but showing the love of Jesus Christ. A country singer had a man show him the love of Jesus Christ that influenced him so much, he wrote a song about it. Y'all, God is trying to shape and form you into something beautiful. And where you are, it may seem like a vast desert. It may seem like you're not doing anybody any good. But you hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And you ask Him to direct your path so that you can make disciples by the power of the Holy Spirit, Him leading you, by the overflow of your life. That you just love God so much that even if you're in prison, even if you're in financial ruin, or even if you're blessed beyond measure, you're showing people and you're preparing the way for them. I don't know, church, sometimes how to witness. We don't have programs here to teach you to go out and go through this step or this routine to talk to people. But the reality is, we should be reflecting Jesus Christ. And that is our witness. And then when people see Jesus in our life, hopefully we can make disciples of them by training, but by them seeing how you live, seeing how you handle situations, seeing how you deal with problems. Preparing the way. Maybe that coworker that you can't stand. Maybe that wayward child. Maybe, I don't know. But listen and obey and trust that you're planting good seed and that God is turning you into something great. A tree of righteousness to be on display. Let's stand, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. Lord Jesus, I pray for encouragement for everyone in here. Lord, that when we're going through the storms, when we're going through the trials, that we would stop and we would reflect and we would seek You, Lord, and know that You're shaping us and You're forming us into a beautiful creation. That we might display Your wonderful glory, Lord, of how You've transformed us. Lord, may we not get discouraged. May we not be those that shrink back, but may we endure. May we endure and know that when we endure that there's a crown of righteousness waiting for us when we get to heaven, Lord. Know that this world, that this life just lasts a short time. It's just a moment. Your Word says that we are just a vapor that appears for only a moment and then disappears. So Father, may our focus be on You each and every day. God, may we understand the importance of following Your Holy Spirit, of being that light in this dark world. May we understand that just like You had a purpose for John the Baptist, You have a purpose for each and every one of us. Lord, may we never take it for granted. May we choose to follow You each and every day and fulfill the purpose that You have, the calling that You have for each and every one of our lives. Father, I pray if anyone in here has been discouraged, if anyone in here is thinking about quitting, thinking about turning back, Lord, they don't feel Your presence, Lord, may You right now just pour out Your Spirit upon them. May they feel Your presence. May they feel that encouragement. Lord, have Your way now. Speak to every heart in here in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You.
If any of you have ever done any remodeling, but mine and Crystal's first house we bought, it was a beautiful home. We were so blessed, but it needed a lot of tender love and care. But when we had to gut certain parts of the house, and I remember when we were gutting the kitchen, and it was terrible, you know, pulling out the cabinets and the sheetrock, and it just was a mess. It was a mess. But when we finally got done, it was this beautiful kitchen. New cabinets, and it was so nice, and it was just wonderful, you know? But it took a lot of hard work to get it to looking good, you know? Now, sometimes in our life, it's just hard work sometimes. It's hard work sometimes. But hopefully, you can look back and go, wow, God, You're amazing. Look what You've done. Look what You've done with my life. Look at how You've changed me. Look at how You've transformed me. And maybe right now, you're right in the middle of something and you're like, I don't see God in it. Pray. Ask for obedience and watch and see what God can do. beauty for ashes, turning you into something even better than you could even imagine, to display His glory and His righteousness. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. We will have service tonight at 6:30.